Okay, welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Just some of your comments coming in so far this morning. Enoch Burke says the listener showed up to school every day as it was within his contract. In acknowledging a child as someone other than a boy or girl by their correct name would be out of the contract. That's not why he was suspended. It was interactions he had with the headmistress at that time in different environments, public environments. It wasn't because he refused to, it wasn't because it was in his contract. Mr. Burke was holding to the school's policy, but it would actually be the school that went outside its own policy. This is my take on it. How would others take it? Okay, thank you for that. Greg, as a landowner who National Broadband did erect poles on my land without permission, I can assure you they cannot. It took a lot of time for me to get clarification on it, but the bottom line is they cannot. Okay, that's interesting. Thank you for that. Let's hope refugees being moved today get warm, safe, fully serviced accommodation. Charities, NGOs need to give this operation a chance and not to be handing out free tents like before, encouraging men to recamp illegally on the footpaths of busy streets. It's not safe, hygienic and unfair on residents and those working in the area. Wellness Wednesday this week, we are going to be focusing on hemochromatosis. And we have a couple of guests with us. Brian Coyle's from Buncrana and has come down to have a chat with us. Brian, thank you so very much indeed. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Greg.
And we're also joined on the telephone by Miriam Ford, who's Executive Director of the Irish Hemochromatosis Association. Thank you, Miriam, for joining us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So do you, Miriam, firstly, before we hear Brian's story, want to talk to us about hemochromatosis, what it is, how it affects people?
Hemochromatosis, it's a funny one. It's a hard word to say, but easy to treat once people are diagnosed. And hemochromatosis, it's a genetic disorder. Where too much iron is absorbed into the body from the diet. So you can't pick it up. You either have the genes or you don't. And you need two genes, one copy from each of your parents to have genetic hemochromatosis. And believe it or not, Ireland has the highest rates of hemochromatosis in the world. One in five of us carry a single copy of the gene. And one in 83 people are predisposed to develop hemochromatosis. But we've come a long way, definitely. There's a lot more awareness now of hemochromatosis.
And that awareness too, Miriam, has to be amongst the general public, but also medical professionals as well, because it's often they who will rely on spotting the signs, getting the right diagnosis and treatment plans.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, we work closely with the medical profession as well, especially with the Irish College of GPs and the HSE. We are very dependent on consultants and clinicians and GPs to give talks, to give patient information talks, and also to support patients. So, for example, the Irish College of GPs, over the last couple of years, the hemochromatosis webinar, you know, for continuing professional development credits and so on, has been one of the most attended webinars, you know, so there's a real appetite out there amongst the medical sector to make sure that they're up to date with all the research. And as well as that, over the last few years, GPs are now, they can sign up to a contract to deliver what they call venesection services, which is still the most effective treatment for hemochromatosis, mm-hmm. where blood is removed frequently when you're first diagnosed until your ferritin or your iron levels are reduced down. A lot of GPs are continuing to sign up to provide that treatment for patients.
Okay. Bring Brian into the conversation now. Brian, you've had hemochromatosis for two decades now, so really you were diagnosed with it when there was less awareness to the condition as there is now. So In your early 40s at that stage, how was it affected? Because you work outdoors, don't you? Well, or indoors and outdoors, but you work in the building industry.
Yeah, I'm a plant fitter, and how it affected me was my joint pains was the biggest problem.
Yes.
And my hands, my knees, my elbows, that's what was concerning me.
And was your work putting extra pressure on those joints? Or
probably,
might have affected those joints anyway?
It probably was, Greg, yeah. It probably was, and I put it down to the work that I was doing that was causing these problems.
Mm. So in your back and forth with the GPs, what were they initially putting it down to?
Well, the first visit was they initially put it down to wear and tear as the work that I was doing.
Yeah.
And then that time they took blood samples off me, and 2 years later I had to get a medical done for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor discovered that that my iron profile was high and asked me would I come back in and get another blood test done. So I done that, and a couple of days later they rang me out and they says, listen, can you come back in here straight away because your iron profile's gone through the roof. And that's where it started from. And the reason that they discovered this was one of the doctors on Buncrana has the same condition.
Wow, okay. So as well as the joint pain, does the high ferritin levels, you had 10 times really, over 10 times, actually
over
12
times,
odd times,
yeah.
What might be expected to be read in a person's blood, outside of the joint pains, and maybe you learnt this down the track, how else was it affecting you in everyday life?
It was affecting with tiredness, and motivation was a big thing. It really tired and no motivation at all. And that was most of the main things, the joint pains, the tiredness, the motivation was what was doing it.
And what was your treatment plan then at that point?
Well, after we discovered that I had that was so high that they started taking blood off me. And in the first year, I had 45 units of blood off. And after that, then after the first or second unit that I got off, the pain started to decrease and the tiredness started to leave me.
Wow, that quickly.
Yeah, it was about 2 to 3 units, yeah.
Miriam, what's happening when blood is taken from the patient and how is that easing symptoms?
Venesection treatment brings the ferritin levels in the body down, and most clinicians and GPs, they would have a target level for hemochromatosis patients of between 50 and 100. And initially, when people are diagnosed first, they may have to undergo intensive treatment, so have very frequent venesections, which is drawing off blood, or also called phlebotomies, very similar to how people would donate blood through the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. And then usually it depends from patient to patient, but it could take up to a year if your ferritin levels on diagnosis are very high. But then thereafter, you're in what they call a maintenance phase. So for the rest of your life then, you may only need to have a couple or maybe 2, 3, 4 sometimes tops venesections a year thereafter.
So is there any medicine that will sort of suppress iron levels?
There is what they call chelation therapy, but it's still and it is a medication, but it's still not as effective as getting blood drawn off or what they call venesections. It's still right now anyway the most effective treatment. There's a lot of research going on, but you know, some of the treatments and medications are still novel and are just not effective.
Right. So in your first year, Brian, 45 litres of blood, then units, I beg your pardon. Then presumably things began to settle. But this is part of your life now.
That's part
going
of my
forward.
Life, yeah.
So how often do you have to get blood tests?
Well, every about 3 to 4 times a year, I've got to get blood off.
Mm-hmm.
And my body usually tells me that because my joints start to get sore, get tired, and then I just know that I go to the doctor and he does a blood test.
He confirms what you know.
He confirms what I know, okay. And your body tells you.
What about diet? Because obviously people will know that there are some foods that are rich in iron, all right? I don't know if this might be different types of iron or different ways of creating it, but do you have any particular dietary?
Not really, Greg. I just try and stay away from red meats. I do eat them, don't get me wrong. I do eat small amounts, but try and stay away from red meats.
Okay. And what happens to your blood, out of interest?
I think it just goes to be dumped.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that usual, Miriam? There's an awful lot of, well, there's quite a number of people having quite a lot of blood taken from them. Can it be put into somebody else, or is it, or is it disposed of?
Well, in Ireland, the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, through either their mobile clinics or their fixed clinics throughout the country, are the only body really that have the protocols in place to be able to collect blood safely and put it into the national blood supply. And yes, you make the very good point. You know, it's a win-win situation. If hemochromatosis patients are eligible to donate blood, then that through the IBTS, then that blood is used either in a hospital or other setting, right. And it's literally a lifesaver. So
yeah, sure.
Anybody who can donate and is eligible to donate with hemochromatosis, if they can do that through the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, it's just such a positive thing for everybody, you know, for donors. I mean, the IBTS constantly needs blood, as we all know. So where people are eligible, we always say, please donate blood.
Yeah, and you're kind of self-maintaining too, I presume, to some extent. Miriam, in terms of, you know, the rate of hemochromatosis, what is the rate, and would it be underreported? I wonder, are there many people walking around with it that may not be aware that they have it, or are putting it down to something else? I don't know, old age or work practices or lack of exercise. I mean, what is the rate, and how reflective do you think that is of its prevalence?
Well, the prevalence data that we have was done about 23 years ago using the neonates, the blood spot cards at the time. And out of that, then the figures for carriers of the hemochromatosis gene are 1 in 5 of us. And then where people have 2 copies of the gene and may be predisposed to develop iron overload, it is 1 in 83. But yes, there's a percentage of people out there that could have hemochromatosis and be unaware that they have it, or may not be symptomatic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why our mission really is to just raise awareness and educate the public about hemochromatosis, what it is, the kind of symptoms to watch out for. And we want to ensure that no one goes undiagnosed from hemochromatosis in Ireland. So
a caller
the
says,
more awareness there is.
Yeah, sorry, Mimi. A caller says, it's very unfair that the removal of this blood costs so much money and you cannot get a medical card with the condition. Is there anything that can be done to reduce the cost? Can the blood be removed via the mobile blood bank when they're in town? So I think that's kind of covering a couple of things. But that people can themselves say, right, it's costing me a fortune, I'm going to donate this blood instead.
Yes, that is an option for people where they're eligible. So we always say to people, ring the local number on the giveblood.ie website and go through your medical history and ask, are you in a position to donate? That is one option, and it's free. The other is if you are a public patient or you go through the public patient route. As of last year, April 2023, Minister Donnelly waived, and the HSE and the Department of Health waived the €80 venesection charge to remove blood in a hospital setting. But in a GP setting, yes. Yeah, people will have to pay if they don't have either a GP visit card or a medical card. But if you have a GP visit card, you won't have to pay for your venesections at the GP.
Okay. Another caller says, is this a male thing? My husband has it and was told to get his sons checked, but not our daughter, who actually shows more signs of it.
Hemochromatosis can affect women and men equally in terms of carrying the gene. But unfortunately for women, they're physiologically, predisposed to absorb less iron because of menstruation and childbirth and so on. So what, in terms of a pattern, what you may see is that post-menopause, that women with hemochromatosis can start or begin to load iron.
Okay. Is there any, I'll ask Brian this, or Mary, if you want to join, is there a hereditary nature to it, Brian? Did you have to sort of maybe, I don't know, any
yes.
brothers or sons?
Yeah,
my
whole family, my brothers and sisters had to be all tested. And out of that, three of us have it, three are carriers and one is a diabetic.
Right. Okay.
And
also to a couple of callers calling in saying that blood tests, they had the symptoms, and maybe this is your experience, initial blood tests didn't pick it up, but they were persistent and secondary blood tests picked it up. What's going on there, I wonder?
You get a genetic test. You can have a genetic test that tells you if you've got the symptoms of it or the gene.
Miriam, if we go to the GP, if people listen to this and go, right, this sounds like something I have, I want to get my bloods done, is there any... I'm sure GPs know, right? But we're supposed to advocate on our own behalf as we hear from the HSC ads at the moment. Is there anything that we need to be saying to ensure that we are actually getting the iron levels checked for this condition?
Yeah, so what we'd say to people is to ask for a specific iron panel blood test and not a regular blood test that people get when they, or their annual blood test. You need a specific blood test. Some people call it an iron panel blood test. Other people call it a biochemical test. So what that will do is that it will show in particular the two readings, either your ferritin or what they call transferrin saturation levels. If either one or both of those are raised, then the next step for your GP then is to send you for a genetic blood test, or they do it themselves. It's just a simple additional blood test, and then that will really definitively rule in or out hemochromatosis. Now, ferritin can be raised for other reasons other than hemochromatosis, but you know that will require an investigation then by your GP. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, people should definitely and specifically request the iron panel blood test if they're worried about symptoms, and especially because some of the symptoms of hemochromatosis are very general, you know, and they're shared with other conditions as well. So, and they're not always specific. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, further investigation will always be needed.
My husband has it and I'm a carrier. Does that mean our children will have it?
If they're a carrier and her husband has two copies of the gene, then yes, if for example, they had four children, one of them could have hemochromatosis, i.e. two copies of the gene passed on. One or two could be carriers and the other may not have it.
Yeah, I get you.
They all would have hemochromatosis and have two copies each, for example, if both parents had hemochromatosis.
Is it more prevalent is it more prevalent in Ireland because of the size of our gene pool, i.e. we're a smaller country? Would that be one of the reasons why it's more prevalent here, or is, maybe that's a guess, or is there some science to it, Miriam?
There was a study done by Professor Dan Bradley with Trinity and Queen's University in Belfast, and they looked at the genome of the Ballinathy woman and her remains, I think, over 4,000 years ago. And they started mapping the genes, and that's when the mutation for hemochromatosis, the one most common one, C282Y gene, was discovered. So it is particular to Celtic populations, and Ireland has the highest prevalence of that mutated gene.
I get you. The Celtic curse. Oh, the Celtic curse, okay. I have the condition and also have an overactive thyroid gland. I was getting blood off for a year and a half, but it regulated itself. Will I need to keep checking it, or is it gone? That's a GP question, really, I suppose.
Well, because it's genetic, the woman will always have the gene. Mm-hmm. So, but in terms of regulating her thyroid, you know, that's great that is now regulated, okay. But her hemochromatosis will always genetically be there.
All right, okay. Other than that, Brian, you've it under control now at this point with the correct diagnosis and the correct treatment. Know you have it, I presume.
You know
still
you have
to
it,
some extent, and it comes and goes.
Yeah, you just have to watch what you do and watch what you eat, and just you know yourself whenever it gets high, as I say, you've got your unit off. But you have to be careful that you don't lower your ferritin too low as well. That can be a problem.
Okay. Sligo Patient Information Evening, by the way, is taking place with Dr. Kevin Walsh, a consultant. I can't read that because it's blurred. It's on the 8th of May 2024 at 7:30 p.m. It is down in Sligo in the Glasshouse Hotel. Everyone is welcome there. You can go to hemochromatosis.ie. We'll link that, by the way, as well, because it's quite a difficult word to spell, let alone say. But anyway, Miriam, thanks for all of your time this morning. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg. Okay. And lovely talking to you. And thanks, Brian.
Okay, Miriam, thank you.
Take care of yourself. Miriam Ford, Executive Director of the Irish Hemochromatosis Association. Brian Coyle from Buncrana. I hope we haven't kept you from work too long. You're all right.
Yeah? Fine, Greg. You're all fine. Right, thanks for having us on.
Listen, continued good health. And the great thing about interviews like this, it'll reach
people. That's the reason they want
it. It'll reach people and they'll...
I didn't know nothing about it until... And they wouldn't have discovered it. And the surgery, probably, they weren't looking out
for it.
But
your GP had it.
The GP had it. And then that's what brought it to the attention, and that's what saved me.
All right, okay. Listen, brilliant stuff.
Okay.
And what happens if it goes untreated, by the way? Do we know? That's the one question I didn't ask.
Yeah, it goes for your liver, your heart, your kidneys.
Right, that's actually really critical information.
Yeah, it is really critical, yeah.
Okay,
so
unchecked, it's not just you walk around perpetually with it.
No.
In some cases, it starts attacking
your
organs.
It starts attacking your organs,
okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's really, really
and
important.
Your joints as well. It does the cartilages in your joints as well.
So you could end up with long-term
Have arthritis in your joints, yeah. You can end up with that, yeah.
Okay, well, we're trying to avoid that, and thanks to Brian and Miriam for helping getting the message out there, and hopefully it helps someone today. I'm absolutely sure it will. Safe journey back to Buncrana. Brian,
thanks,
back
Greg,
with more
you.
After the break.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
That means we're back in studio with Chris Ashmore, presenter of Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast, which is live right now, and it'll be broadcast later in the week. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Chris, good morning to you. How are you getting on? I know you have a spring in your step, but that's because spring is in the air.
Yes, what a coincidence. Blue skies.
Blue skies, fantastic. And hopefully we see much more of them going forward. I'm not sure if there's some sort of a segue into agri. With blue skies, I'm sure there is. Well. You can find that. But good news for the Donegal Investment Group.
Yes, Letterkenny-based agri-firm Donegal Investment Group. It's a PLC. It's released its latest six-month accounts, and revenue for the 6 months up to the end of February has risen by over 7% to €23 million. Pre-tax profits up 10%. And its primary business, Greg, is in the seed potato sector, and it's investing in new varieties and markets, and has a particular focus at the moment about how it's going to accelerate its markets in continental Europe, Eastern Africa and indeed in India in the years ahead.
A lot of seeds been sown the last couple of weeks. It was too wet earlier on. I think St. Patrick's Day really often is the time, if you can, to get them into the ground. But anyway, there you go. Investment, significant investment in the Falkara area, or at least a Falkara-based firm.
Yeah, you might have heard this on the news. A Falkara-based firm has announced a €5 million plan to expand its manufacturing and research and development facility. Celsius is, well, it's a leading manufacturer and big on the global market. It provides wireless temperature monitoring and digital hazard analysis and critical point control point systems. So it's basically regulating those freezers. You'd see them particularly in supermarkets and things like that, all digital. And, you know, when you look at some of the figures, these are quite startling, Greg. You like the odd stat. Celsius has managed over 70 billion customer records. It's 77,800 monitoring devices around the world.
Small
that has all been picked up. And they work closely with Dudrus Nagelta to export to 47 countries. Oh, and among the customers, Tesco, Musgraves as well here in this country, Abbott. So great.
That's a lot of data.
Big story
isn't
there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, fair play to the government. Now they're allowing us to borrow money, get further into debt, which is lovely.
Yeah, now the government has announced a new retrofit loan scheme, which will allow homeowners to borrow up to €75,000 for home retrofit upgrades. Now, this I'm mentioning it on Business Matters because the spin-off here is going to be quite a lot of employment with all this extra work being done in houses. And one recent study found that half of homeowners are almost half are likely to carry out home energy improvements. But the big thing is, two-thirds of them say it's all very well having
it's
these grants,
it.
But
funding.
I need something here.
And
now,
even the match funding, even you know, with certain things, even if you have to come up with seven or eight, nine, 10 grand of your own, like no one, well, sorry, people do, but not a lot of people, especially those that probably need to save the money the most, are the ones that don't have the capital to do this.
Yeah.
And it's a square that really still is not a circle. It's not being squared or vice versa.
Now, that said, the Permanent ESB, they're the first financial institution to come out after this announcement. And they're offering a special loan for these retrofits at 3.55%, which is considerably less than your standard loan would be. So we're going to see more activity in that over the coming weeks.
All right, and that's going to be really good news for some, by the way. I'm not poo-pooing it. It's just for some, it just is not a non-runner. Right, the prestigious Irish Maid Awards 2024 nominations are open, or entries are open.
That's right, and the Irish Country magazine, which comes with the Farmers Journal, they've been running this for a number of years, the Irish Maid Awards, 8 years in fact, and it's a showcase for people to get involved. And obviously if you are an award winner, there's big publicity and the package is worth over €20,000. More details on the Irish Country magazine .ie website. So if you've a company there and you want to think you've got something worth entering for, so why not?
Yeah, indeed. And the subject of this week's podcast, it's a company relatively young but going from strength to strength and huge strides made recently, Chris.
Yes, a Donegal-based drinks company has signed an exclusive distribution agreement for the US market. The Muff Liquor Company has landed the deal with the Lucas Bols Company, which is a big player on the cocktail and spirits market worldwide. It was set up in 2017 by Laura Boner. This is the Muff Liquor Company, and has a number of award-winning gin, vodka and whiskies, and it's going places. They have a number of big celebrities have invested in them, including Russell Crowe, Ed Sheeran, Jimmy Carr and Ronan Keating. And in this clip, Laura Boner, the founder of the Muff Liquor Company, explains how she first got Russell Crowe to see and sample the product. And I just love what I suppose is a very Irish networking way of doing things as she starts.
One of my best friend's sister's fiancé was singing in his band, and I knew that he had organised a party for the cast down in Dublin. So I had the three bottles in a box and a note, whatever, and I got it down into his lap. I think it was like 10:30 on the Saturday night, and he opened it but didn't say anything apparently. And then he went back. They had drinks and stuff in the at the house. And then apparently, well, not apparently, he then told me then on the Sunday that he had spent the day just reading stories and articles and reading stuff about me and the company. And then at 8:05 on Monday morning, I got a phone call from one of his guys saying, are you looking for investment? And at that point, I very much was. I started to tell my family that I was thinking about filing bankruptcy at that point. And he invited me down to his house. So we had breakfast that Wednesday. I think by Friday, we had the deal done.
Well,
so surreal.
A marketing masterstroke. And then not only that, Ed Sheeran, Jimmy Carr, and Ronan Keating have also backed you. So that's quite a quartet.
I know. I was delighted with one of them when I heard I was getting them all. But again, like, they're just really good men. Like, they're family men. They're hardworking. They're down to earth. Like, they're just our kind of people. They're extremely supportive. They're very creative. I honestly, I can't tell you how much I'm loving this and enjoying it, and I'm really, really glad. I'm really grateful that they're being part of the journey.
All right, exciting stuff. I saw the video, which went a bit viral, ironically, sort of playing with the name of the company, which at the beginning I was discouraged from doing so. I had no intention of doing so either. But anyway, you embrace it if it's working. Fair play to Laura and all the team up there. Russell Crowe, Ed Sheeran, Jimmy Carr, Ronan Keating, coming down in celebrity sort of as you go through the list, but still big names.
Yeah.
All big names.
Yeah, yeah. You might be on the list next year.
That's it. I'm a long way off getting on that type of list, Chris. You'll be on it before I will. Fair play to them. It's a huge market. What is it, 350-odd million people in the United States.
Yeah,
and
big market.
And celebrity endorsement in this day and age is huge for any company. So that's fantastic stuff. All right, well done to all of them. An interesting, actually, insight into the business up until that point of the deal. Anything else jumped out from you in that convo?
Well, you know, we've had other companies on before. The food and drinks sector, Donegal, is certainly punching above its weight.
The
there.
The problem with food and drink is it puts weight on you. Like, you would just love to enjoy food and drink.
Everything in moderation, Greg.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't have half a burger and half a plate of chips, can you?
What's that? Is that the? Can you hear the ice cream van outside?
Well, when I was younger, I've said this before, when I was younger and we lived where we used to have an ice cream van that came around, my mother told me that they only put the music on when they'd ran out of ice cream. So it was to save any kids running out and there being no ice cream. So once you heard it, and you know what? It never turned up with the music off, strangely. Mm. So that's what we were told.
Yeah. Actually,
have you ever told any fibs?
Well,
any fibs? Come on, let's open up the phone lines. Picking your nose and eating it would give you worms.
I know an ice cream van goes round and it plays the West Ham song, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. So is the owner a West Ham fan?
That potentially could be. So you weren't told any fibs as a young person? No?
I'll have to think about that, yeah.
Huh? Okay, well, you don't have anything off the top of your head. But anyway, mine were if you blow up a balloon and let the air out into your face, that you get warts. That's what I was told. So to discourage from just doing that, because you didn't want us to swallow the balloons, presumably, right? Pick your nose and eat it gives you worms. I think that's pretty standard. And that the ice cream van, the music was played meant they'd run out of ice cream. So any fibs out there that you got told as a young person that turned out to be not true or that you actually use with your own children, let us know. 086 60 25,000. You won't beat my three anyway. Get off that wall or I'll beat the living daylights out of you. You'll fall and break your legs. Bit of an oxymoron there, isn't it?
Yeah, you're on a roll. You're on a roll.
I do this 3 hours a day, Chris. Every day, Monday to Friday. Right, so the Business Matters podcast is live for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com. I think that download option is there so you can listen to it at your leisure. And there's a huge back catalogue of brilliant shows too. The greatest minds and individuals in business in Donegal and across the region. Chris, and it's a broadcast as a radio show as well.
On Sunday after the 6 o'clock news, and you can contact me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com. By the way, you mentioned there the podcast. I think we're on episode 191 or 192 now. So when you go back through a lot of content.
Well, I mean,
and people,
if I was starting a business or interested in a business or I felt a bit stagnant in business, you know, you get to hear where other people, it's almost like remote networking to some extent, you know what I mean? Because there is a deep dive in those interviews as to what works, what hasn't worked, what they tried, what they didn't try, and all that type of stuff. So great for listeners, great for the business and community. And Chris, you're going to be back with another episode, 190 what, two next week?
Maybe three, yeah.
193, okay. Greg, can I say a great big thank you to all at Pathfinder? They've helped keep my brother Patrick at home while getting the same care that he would have got in hospital. We as a family are extremely grateful because we live so far away from Letterkenny. That comes in from Philomena. Isn't it great peace of mind, Philomena, for you? Okay, that's lovely. Thank you very much indeed. Hi, Greg. I wouldn't rely on the Irish Times figures re vacant homes, given that Donegal County Council have been putting signs on people's homes stating that the property is vacant, derelict, when they are neither vacant nor derelict. It may be more appropriate that the council attach the sign to their own premises. Not familiar with that happening, but let us know. I've been trying to load the new app for Highland Radio, but cannot find it at all. Any help, please? Well, such is the way nowadays, a standalone app in the App Store is it's not really terribly convenient for people. And then there's updates and phones change and app stores change their criteria and all this kind of stuff. So what we actually have now at the moment is it's an app that you get from the website. So open your browser on your phone or your tablet, and you go to highlandradio.com, and then you add that as a shortcut to your desktop. So if you click normally, you see three wee signs. You can add that to your desktop. So add page 2 on Android, for an example, to the home screen. And then what you have, and I've just done it here, then what you have on your home screen is a little symbol. That is effectively the app. And it's the app, the website has been designed that it's very mobile friendly as well. So add the website through your browser to your a shortcut to your desktop, and it functions the exact same as an app, but you don't have to worry about updates or anything. And you check the news, obituary notices, listen live, watch live, all that way. And it is a better way of doing things. I would be of the opinion that the kind of websites, the standalone apps, are just, they clog up the phone. You have to keep updating them, then you don't update them, then they stop working. I just find that system far more convenient, but that's just me. I think every one of us that's in shops are familiar with something called shrinkflation. So the price might go up or it might even stay the same, but the product, and sometimes it's actually hard to spot it. I think people notice it really with things like chocolate bars and things like Easter eggs, boxes of sweets. You know, it's probably more evident. But there's lots of stuff where the contents of packaging or whatever has gotten smaller, but we weren't necessarily told about that. The French don't really have to worry about this because retailers there are forced to notify shoppers when products have been reduced in size without a corresponding cut in price. So, in, you know, 500 grams... Now, all of a sudden, the packet's got 350 grams. You don't really notice it. The price is the same. Well, in France, if the price stays the same, you must be informed of such. Michael Kilcoyne is chair of the Consumers Association of Ireland, and he joins us on the programme now to discuss this. I mean, as I said in the preamble there, Michael, I think all of us are, whether we know it or not, are affected by what's been labelled shrinkflation.
Hello, Greg, and good morning to you and to your listeners. And you're exactly right in what you say. What's happening is that the amount of product you're getting is being reduced. The packaging, by and large, remains the same, but the price also remains the same. But you're getting less product, which means that you're paying more for the product because you're getting less of it. Mm. And you'll notice it. You'd have noticed it around the Christmas, the tins of the containers of sweets, there'd be less in it. And if you look at the label on the side of it, it will tell you the amount that's in it. But it won't tell you that you're now getting less than you were getting last year and it's costing you the same thing. But it's also happening as well with cereal, all of that kind of stuff. You know, the packets of cereal you get. Price is the same, the outer carton, the box is the same, but inside there is less stuff, less product in the
And you put that across your whole shopping basket, and it means your money's not going as far, you know.
Correct. You're actually getting less product for the money that you're paying. And this is a very sneaky way of what big business is up to. They're giving you less product for the same money. And what annoys me is they don't tell you that there's less product. If you look at the fine print, yes, it gives you the number of grams. But who out shopping? If the housewife or the house husband is out shopping and they go to the shelf and they pick up a packet of cereal, they're not going to be looking at is there less grams in it this week or this month than there was last month. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have time to do these things. But they'll probably wonder, all right, come the end of the week, there doesn't seem to have been as much stuff in that package as gone on Thursday.
But also too, Michael, what I don't like about it is it's kind of sneaky. You know, in some markets, say for instance Pringles, a really popular box, right? The crisps are half the size, but the box is the same size. They will even reduce the contents of something like a packet of biscuits, but make the marketing on the front of the biscuits bigger, so as to trick the eye.
Yes.
So the packet looks bigger, but it's not. The packet's smaller, but the writing, the advertising on the packet itself has gotten bigger. I mean, that's just devious.
It is, but they're allowed to get away with it because our successive governments in this country is not really concerned about the consumer. They're much more concerned about big business. They're not concerned about the consumer. And this is proof of it. France introduced a regulation saying you must give so much notice about this. You must put signs on the packets. You must put signs on the shelves so that the consumer knows and they're able to make a choice. Nothing like that happens in Ireland because there's no enforcer at the moment, hasn't been for a long period of time. You'll recall that the Office of Director of Consumer Affairs was amalgamated with the Competition Authority and they made them the Consumer Competition Commission. But the consumer part don't do any enforcing in terms of issues like this. There should be direction. There should be a regulation brought in by the minister, and if big business fails to honour it, then they should be prosecuted. But consumer issues is not a priority for government, I have to tell you that.
The thing too,
and the consumer out there knows that, because if, for example, they were concerned about consumers, they wouldn't have been putting additional excise duty on things like they'd done 2 months ago and like has happened again since that.
As well as that, too, what we had and tied into this, and it really is you know, we're so bloody brand loyal with where we shop to, and it's awful when you get the slap in the face. And I'm not saying they're all doing it, okay? And there's a difference between, I suppose, those that supply the products and then those that sell the products. But we also saw increase in costs recently, price gouging, effectively. You know, companies making record profits because there was this perception and the reality, okay, that everything was going up. Stuff that wouldn't be affected by inflation was going up because the public expectation was there. Everything in the basket, it's a bloody nightmare. And companies were exploiting that and putting stuff up really when they had no cause to do so.
Correct. And they used the opportunity to shove up prices. But ultimately, there's a lot the consumer can do about that. But the consumer themselves aren't, they don't really get upset. They get upset, but they don't do anything about it. So when their local county councillor or their local TD comes around to them, or their local member of the European Parliament canvassing for their vote, as they're at now at the moment and will be for the next five or six weeks, they need to say to them, people, this is not acceptable. And if you're not prepared to do something about it, then I won't be in a position to vote for you. That's what matters. That's how things change.
Yeah, there's an example here we're looking at.
Yes, people
it's
are
right across the board. I'm looking at an example here from Gillette, who they didn't, their shrinkflation, because what they actually did is there was a pack of four blades that people paid a certain price for. They didn't even change the packaging. Yes. They just put two of the replacement blades in the old container and left two spaces spare. That's the kind of stuff that's going on.
Yes.
All right.
That's the kind of stuff that's going on. And you see, the consumer isn't instantly aware of it. It's only sharp consumers that pick it up, particularly when they see that halfway through the week the packet of seaweed is gone, or the packet of whatever it is, that there doesn't seem to have been as much in it. And it's really misleading and cheating people. And the Department of Enterprise and Employment and the government should be doing something about this.
I find it very frustrating when organizations. I find it frustrating, Michael, when organizations that are charged for protecting us or charged with protecting us and are well paid to do so simply just renege on that duty. Do you know what I mean? And we need to call it out a bit more.
Correct. And I mean, what the department should be doing is there should be a regulation so that it's an offence to do this kind of stuff without giving proper notice to the consumer and so on. There is no maximum prices in this country. If there was maximum prices and things like that, they would have to advise in advance when there are changes. But no, big business does what it likes. We see it all over the place. We see it in housing. We see it in everyday goods. We see it right across the economy, and they're allowed to get away with it, and they continue to get away with it, and the consumer pays, and all the consumer can do is just get upset about it. But at the end of the day, the people accountable are the people in the Dáil and their local representatives. And there are not just one party in government, there are three. There's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that anybody else would be any different if they got away with it. They'd be the same.
Yeah, but we have to be able to say that, look, do your job without being seen to be saying someone else could do it better. You know what I mean? Like, we've been bullied almost into not being able to say stuff. But look, people, that's what we, the democratic process, whomever we happen to elect, and that's up to us who we elect, okay? So it's our fault as well.
Correct.
But we have an expectation that they fulfill the mandate that we gave them. And some would argue.
Correct.
So because it's not anti-anything.
And if they don't, then the next time we should be saying to them, sorry, we're not going to give you back that job again because you didn't do what we wanted you to do. We're going to give it to someone else.
All right, listen.
That's the only part that they really understand.
Okay, Michael, thanks for your time. Michael Kilcoyne, Chair of the Consumers Association of Ireland. Any examples of shrinkflation? Some of it's incredibly subtle, going from 50 grams to 44 grams. Now, if that company is saving 6 grams per bar and they're producing, 20 million bars, you can see why they will try and get away with it. But if we don't know what's happening, if we're not getting, we're not paying less for it, it's a bit of a slap in the teeth to us loyal, because we are brand loyal, We don't shop around. We're getting better at it, but we don't shop around. We own brand stuff often is as good as the main brand stuff, but we still kind of look down our nose at the old brand stuff. Own brand stuff because we think that yet often this stuff is made in the same factory as the when it's labelled as something we're more familiar with. All right, okay. In France, they're going to make a law against shrinkflation next year. They're not making a law against it. You're spot on because I did mention France at the beginning. What they're introducing a law whereby unless the price reduces as well, the shopper has to be notified. And that is coming in next year. And I think it's in one other European country as well. We love to copy what Europe does, don't we? And to sort of bow our cap to them. So let's take some of the good stuff as well. Back to our conversation we had earlier on as part of Wellness Wednesday. My husband was diagnosed with it last year. My son was suffering the same symptoms and he went for a blood test. It came back clear. 3 months later, he had to insist on the blood test again as his symptoms were getting worse and it came back positive and his reading was extremely high. When you think you have this, is there a particular test or central system you can go to for the blood test? Well, I don't want to misquote what Miriam told us, but you can ask for a particular, I think it was a double iron panel, did she say? I'll double check on that, right? But you can ask for that specifically. And I think that's the right thing to do to make sure that to make sure that you get the correct diagnosis. Had an email in, just a comment on a notice I received this morning from the PTSB Bank. Fees increasing by 33%. And they attached a screenshot as well, which shows that PTSB profits jumped to 166 million as bank holds off and shareholders pay out. Well, they're probably taking it off the customers, aren't they? All right, that's where we have to leave it. Back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a lovely Wednesday, will you?